to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you're here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the team go head-to-head. One growls, the other one tries to keep things on track.
Tries.
My name is Elliot, joined by Luke.
Yo!
Yo, what's you doing?
What am I doing?
Why are you growling?
Because we had our zombie episode this week, and I'm still in zombie mode.
Yeah, it's hard to switch off zombie mode.
It's hard to turn off that brain-dead feeling that I so often have.
I feel more threatened by your growls than a zombie growl, though. There's something, like, slightly predatory.
The connotations of mine are very different.
Yeah.
I suppose, which is fair enough. But yeah, here on Intimates again.
What are we talking about?
Well, this is one that I wanted to talk about specifically, actually, because I have been playing a game called Days Gone.
Yes.
Recent release from Sony, big game, one of their sort of AAA touted kind of titles. And it's an interesting one because the game itself, it is not at the standard of what Sony normally put out. And I am saying that as a critic who's played Sony's other big games in recent memory. So talking Spider-Man, God of War, Detroit Become Human, some really high quality stuff there. And, you know, Days Gone was shown at their E3 conference a couple of years ago and everyone was hyped about it. It looked amazing. It had this amazing liquid-like zombies through the environment, this amazing scene that was really captivating and really interesting. And then the game got delayed a couple of times, and now it's with us, and it's good. It's not going to change your life, though. You know what I mean?
No.
And
it's not God of War good.
It's not God of War good.
It's not Spider-Man good.
No.
It's not even Detroit Become Human good.
No. But it's fine. And I think it got me thinking, because I'm enjoying the game, but it does have some problems. And I thought, you know what? Am I being too harsh because I am anticipating it to be at the level of the games that Sony has put out previously from their, you know, AAA titles they've released.
Yes.
And, you know, is that fair of me to think that? But at the same time, you know, I think as consumers, people are going to be thinking that as well, right?
Well, yeah, it's that question of expectation versus reality. It's like that meme. You look at the expectation and it's Sonic, and then you get the reality and it's the Sonic movie. And you're like, oh my God, what's happened here?
Why does he have legs? They look like that.
Yeah, should clarify. The always had legs.
Yeah, he did. But yeah, it sort of it made me think, you know, if I was playing Days Gone and it was, you know, just a regular release from like a different publisher, a different studio that didn't have the same marketing power behind it that Sony has given it, would I be as critical as I am? And it made me think of State of Decay 2, which is another zombie open world game that came out last year.
Yep.
An Xbox exclusive, but not expected to be a AAA title. We knew it was an indie developer that had been given some more budget, basically. And that's kind of how Days Gone feels. A lot more budget. Not just a little more budget, a lot more budget.
Sure.
The characters, the voice acting, the production quality, for the most part, is pretty good. But yeah, it's the repetitive gameplay loop isn't that great, and it's not what you expect out of a Sony game. And yeah, it just made me think about, you know, this has happened before, you know, where we've had games come out where the expectations has not matched the reality, and it's meant that a game that's okay and decent and, you know, not terrible has been dragged through the mud and critically attacked, and, you know, sales have been impacted by that as well.
Yeah. Well, here's the reality, and it is an interesting conversation because nothing exists in a bubble. Nothing exists on its own without these other things influencing it. All games have influences from when they're developed, you know, right until they're released.
Sure.
And all consumers, and even us as people within the media, we have influences and biases and expectations that will always impact the way we view a product and how we consume it and yep. what we expect of it. And there is always this conversation about objectivity versus subjectivity. And the amazing thing about that conversation is there's never going to be an end. Like,
yeah.
You can't be purely 100% objective, even if you think you are. Like, how could you possibly? So, yeah, you're right. Like, you went into Days Gone with the expectation of a Sony first-party release.
Yeah.
Comparing it to all these awesome games.
Correct. I had Spider-Man in my head. I had God of War in my head. I had an E3 trailer from 2 years ago in my head. I had, you know, history of zombie games and zombie movies in my head. I had what I wanted the game to be, what I hoped the game would be. And it was never going to live up to those expectations. It couldn't. It couldn't.
Right.
And it didn't.
So is the onus on you? As a player, is the onus on the marketing team and the developers and the publishers as to how they present their game to make sure they're managing expectations? Or is it just this kind of amalgamation of the both that we're going to have to work our way through?
Is it just me that's different because I play so many games and my expectations are different? You know, if I didn't have an Xbox, I would never have played State of Decay 2, right? It's possible that action games generally aren't my thing, and I didn't like God of War back in the day, so I didn't pick up God of War. I like superheroes, I didn't play Spider-Man. I get Days Gone. I have never played Resident Evil, because it's always a bit too scary for me, but Days Gone is an open world game, looks like the kind of thing I could get into, right? So I pick up Days Gone, having never played these other games before.
Having never played another video game in your life?
Not another video game, but yeah, maybe I got a PS4 and picked up Days Gone as my first game, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't know, it could happen. And that person probably had a wildly different interpretation of what they played than what I did, right? Sure. And that's, I think, where it's different, where, you know, when you consume so much and the games industry moves so quickly, ultimately your expectations are going to be on that same pace. And it can be quite difficult for a game that's made from a developer in terms of Bend Studio. It's their first home console game. They made some really great Vita games, the Siphon Filter franchise on Vita. They made Last. That's a long time ago. I mean, this is their first time working with this hardware, with this platform, and they would have had support from Sony for sure. But
that brings up, like, such a good point, right? Because here's my perspective on things. I haven't played Days Gone, but I've heard the rhetoric since its release and talked to you about it and stuff. Yeah. But I was never on the Days Gone hype train. And part of the reason for that is because I always... I usually look to the developer more than I do the publisher, and I think it tends to give a more accurate representation of what you're likely going to expect, right? If this is a small indie developer who's only done, you know, Vita games in the past, the chances are they don't, like, they could be trying something new and doing it quite successfully, but it takes a few attempts to do it really well, right?
Most of the time, yeah.
So, yeah, that would be one strike that makes me go, you know what, maybe I should, you know, settle down my expectations. The other one would be the delays. If a game gets delayed once, twice, maybe three times, maybe it's a year plus past where it was supposed to, that makes me go, oh, they've had some troubles here that they didn't foresee. Hopefully that doesn't impact the end result, but we've seen time and time again that oftentimes it can.
But it's about education as well, though, right? Because you're coming into this as a well-educated, you know your news, you know your developers, it matters to you, right? Lots of people... Most people probably wouldn't think that far ahead.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
They would just go, it's a zombie game. Will I like it? Watch some trailers. Cool. Like, they are not going to go, ooh, what's the developer history? What's the background? You know, what's it compared to? You know, it's really tricky. I think that it's so hard with marketing and advertising and word of mouth because so much gets lost in translation from what you expect.
Hmm.
And that means that a game like Days Gone, like, you never got hyped for it in the first place. That's fine. That's fair enough. And I was in a similar hesitant kind of space where I was like, well, let's wait and see. But a lot of people don't have the benefit of that research and they don't make the effort. And they're just going to go and buy it in the store and then be let down because, Sony did Spider-Man. Now Sony have done Days Gone. It's not as good. I'm disappointed. And that's as far as it goes.
And I guess that's where it's, I don't know whether you'd prefer to approach a game completely... like, shut out of history so that you don't have expectations, you don't have hype, but you also don't have, like, this information. Like, you're ill-informed, but you're also, like, totally, like, oblivious to any hype. And so it kind of works both ways. Like, would you want to step into a game in that kind of blind way so that you can be 100% objective, or does that not work well because then you're also uninformed?
Yeah, I think it's that kind of thing where I think that so much of this marketing and stuff about games is not for us as gamers. It's for consumers who are like non-gamers, you know, like to try and get them into games and to try and you should try this out, and they wouldn't understand what's really going on.
Sure, or people who pick up, you know, a game once every 3 months maybe, who are, you know, absolutely still gamers, but they're not like... They haven't ruined their lives doing it like we
Because there are definitely games that I wish I could go back and play again not knowing them. You know what I mean? Like, if there's games that you'd love to experience again as if it's the first time you've played them because they were so amazing.
I mean, if there's a game, let's say there's a sequel to a game I really love, a lot of the times I'll I'll basically try to black out those games. Like, I won't watch the trailers. I don't want to know anything. I don't want to set my expectations anywhere. I know I'm going to play it because I'm already invested in that as a franchise or as a series. And therefore, yeah, I need to taper my own expectations and make sure I'm not going into it, like, thinking that, you know, well, it's going to be these plot lines or this is the level of quality I'm expecting, because that is a good way to kind of ruin something for me. Other people are going to be different, obviously, yeah. But yeah, it is about managing your expectations and making sure that you're not overwhelming yourself with all the possibilities, because I love these conversations. After a game releases and it's bad, you're going to have so many people coming out of the woodwork to say, well, of course, it was always going to be bad. Like, look at this and look at this and look at this one statement this one employee said 3 months ago that everybody forgot about. And it's like, yeah, it's really easy. Hindsight 2020 kind of thing. But, you know, in reality, it's so much harder to figure out, is a game going to be good or not? That's why you have to kind of wait for after it releases.
You got to play it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's such a big thing. I think we saw it more recently as well. Not more recently, because Days Gone just came out. Recently with Anthem.
Yeah.
You know, which came from a developer in BioWare that has done some really great things in the past. That being said, their last game before that, Mass Effect Andromeda, was not so good. So they had this weird kind of, well, they've made some amazing stuff, but they've made some fumbles as well. So where is this going to sit? But there is also the BioWare hardcore who were expecting it to be a certain level of polish that it wasn't. And, you know, I think that that is another game that fell badly to the marketing hype, but also the hype by BioWare in terms of just being their past selves and the games they'd made in history.
Yeah.
And that's a tricky thing as well. You know, it's almost like once you make a good game, the expectation to maintain that high standard, to maintain that bar that you've set, is so high and so strong.
If you know you can make a good game, then it's almost like you've lost an excuse.
Yeah.
Because somebody who's trying their hand at something for the very first time, people are always going to be more lenient, right?
Yeah.
They're going to be like, this is your first time. Like, no matter how well you do, we're going to say it's brilliant because you want to encourage those people, and it's totally justifiable that your first thing isn't the best thing in the world.
Yeah.
But if this is your 10th game and the last 5 were masterpieces, then you lose that. You don't get that excuse anymore. Nobody is going to be like on your side going, oh, guys, just wait for the next one. Maybe they'll get better. Maybe they'll improve. No, at that point, it's a downhill slide.
It was funny, though, because a development studio is going to have some changes internally in terms of the people involved.
But
all
we don't
sorts
think
things,
about
right?
that, do we?
Yeah, but it is sad, though, because, you know, everyone's entitled to a bad day, right? And in terms of a game, I guess it's like a bad couple of years. But who knows if you're trying to push yourself as a developer to do something different beyond what you're comfortable with, and you end up making a big mistake, and that can impact. The problem then is, though, you're impacting this entire company and stakeholders and shareholders on this level that you never probably had to worry about previously when you were starting out.
Yeah.
And so it's tough. You get big and the expectations of that get huge as well. And sometimes it takes a while to get it right, though, as well. I mean, Insomniac did Spider-Man, right?
Yes.
Yes. Like, they previously had done, like, your Ratchet and Clank and stuff like that, and then, like, Sunset Overdrive.
That's the one I was thinking in my head. What was their last game?
It took them a while to kind of nail that rhythm. It was good, and the ideas were there, but
are you saying Ratchet and Clank wasn't good?
No, I'm saying it was fine, but I think that it evolved into a better game over time in the third or fourth one. And I think, like, you know, now they've applied that to the current generation model of games, it's changed again.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, the expectation of that now is so high as a studio. And they've carved an expectation that's really good in the sense that it's not necessarily quality. Like, you do expect quality, yes, but their reputation is they're going to have really cool weapon design and cool weapon structure in their games. They've proven time and time again that's a creative element they're really good at.
Yeah.
And that's a good expectation to have. Well, you know what I mean? It doesn't have the same stress.
Look, there are some studios out there who have, like, have a deserved expectation, right? They've built this reputation based on all these past releases, and you just know there's going to be a level of quality and polish to their release. Like, let's take Nintendo as, like, a first-party release.
Sure.
You expect whatever the next Zelda game is to have a level of quality that like, it's not going to be a massive letdown. Like, it can't possibly. This game is going to go through so much development and so much fine-tuning that whatever they release, at the very least, will be a very polished experience, a very top-quality experience. And there are other developers out there who have built those reputations. I think even, you know, the Titanfall Apex Legends developer, they're really getting their Respawn. I think they're one of the newest developers to really have these high expectations, and so now when they release their Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order or whatever that people are going to be expecting really high quality gameplay,
right?
Because they know that they can do it.
Yeah.
They know that they've got it in them as a studio to make some really good games. I think From Software have clearly built a reputation around the Dark Souls style of gameplay, and there's really high expectations for whatever they release. So yeah, it is really reputation versus expectation. Like, it can work in your favor because everybody's like already on board. They're like, this can't possibly be a bad game. I'm buying it day one no matter what. But then there's also the thing that happened to BioWare, where people had that expectation. BioWare had built that reputation, and then it disappointed so many people because they went into it going, well, I know it can't possibly be bad because it's BioWare. And then turns out, well, actually, it wasn't very good.
And it's so tricky, right? Because I think that as gamers, we do want the developers to succeed. Like, we want it to be a good game. We want it to be the best game it could possibly be. And video games are still this kind of high fantasy expectation where we want it to be amazing, we want it to be life-changing and have these new mechanics and new ideas and play well and have no glitches and be online and be multiplayer and be everything and nothing and at the same time. I think the video games often get this extra layer of judgment because of that as well, because there's so much you could do. And we see there's so much that you could do, and there are so many different ones out there. You can't not compare it to other games. You can't not compare it to past games. And you know what the future's going
to
hold.
And you should too, to be honest, because there are so many options as like games out there, and games are quite expensive. Like, if you go in blind, you're really risking it. Like, you must be pretty well off, I would think. Like,
To not do research, you mean, to not, like, check this stuff first.
Yeah, it like, to not even know the franchise and just to look at a picture and go, I want that one. Like, you must be pretty well off, I would think, because it is a risky purchase every time you buy a game. Like, it could be absolute garbage. I mean, thank God we got refunds, which kind of takes...
Which
takes away from that.
You're right, but I also got to think as well, though, what you're saying is true, but there's also going to be parents who buy it for their kids or buy a gift for somebody else and might not know. And that's tricky as well. I mean, if you're a good parent or a partner or whatever, you're going to ask someone who knows what they're talking about, their opinion and advice, right? I've got a friend who buys video games for his partner, and my friend's not a gamer. So he always comes to me and says, what would Jason like? What does he want? Like, what does he want to play? And I'm like, get him this. It just came out. He will love it. And then every time they get he has a birthday or a Christmas, Jace will message me and go, thank you, because he knows that I've helped his partner in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there are people that will go into a game store and not have a clue and just go, okay, game shop owner, what is the game everyone's buying right now? And they'll be like, here's new release that came out today, whether it's good or not. And there you go. You've got a game and you have no idea what it is. Mm. And that happens a lot still, you know. Not everyone is informed and buying it for themselves like we are. And that has to factor into this expectation conversation in terms of how people consume these things.
Well, I guess those people who go in blind, they're never disappointed at the very least, because that's what expectations do, right? You can build yourself up to break yourself down. And that's what hype culture is aiming to do. It's building people up.
Yep.
Hopefully not to break them down, because all games need to do is sell. So they just need the build up.
Yeah.
The breakdown is what future games suffer from.
Yeah.
This is what BioWare is now suffering from. Like, Dragon Age 4 might be their next project, but I don't know that fans are now looking at that game as the masterpiece that they might have otherwise. Like, they're probably managing their own expectations, going, you know what, BioWare are capable of making mistakes, they're capable of not being perfect, this game might be one of those examples.
But there will be a lot of people who don't even associate a developer with a game.
Yeah, I know.
There will be a lot of people who don't even know that the same people that made Dragon Age is the same people that made Mass Effect and Anthem.
Absolutely.
They will go, I like the last Dragon Age, I'll buy the new Dragon Age. And they won't connect the dots like we do. And that's where, you know, they might not think about the things like you're saying. Maybe it won't be as good. They'll just think the last Dragon Age was killer. They don't know that David Gaynor's left BioWare, who wrote the last Dragon Age. They don't know all this stuff that goes on behind the scenes. I mean, who knows? It could be trash. It could be amazing. And we're not going to know until one day it comes out in a couple of years or whatever. And that's, I think, where the video games industry is so tricky and so interesting, because no matter what the hype says, no matter what the history says, no matter what happens behind the scenes, we're only exposed to so much. Yep. As consumers, as journalists even, we only get to see sneak peeks that are very curated and very specially shown at the right times by the right people to the right person. And that means that you never really know until you've got that game in your hands exactly whether your expectations will be met or not. And it's kind of exciting, but when you're spending $100 a pop, it's kind of scary as well.
Exactly. But obviously video games aren't the only industry. Everybody does this. It's marketing 101. You show your, you put your best foot forward. You show the best of what you got. Maybe even you manipulate that to make it look better than it really is. Like, think of menu items for like a food store and how they like create a hamburger to make it look the best it ever is, but that's styrofoam painted.
But if your friend tries a burger and says it's crap, you still try it because it's $5 and why not, right? If a friend sees a movie and says it's crap, yeah, it's $20. I'll go try it. Video games, the cost is a bit more in terms of consuming media, in terms of consuming things. And I think that that does mean that it's more at risk in terms of this negative backlash it can get.
It really is where you decide to draw the line, right? Yeah. Like, nobody would buy a car without doing research. Nobody would buy a house without doing a house inspection.
Right.
But we are buying games based on trailers.
That's right.
Like, if you buy a house based on some images they put up onto a website, you'd be a crazy person.
Yeah.
So it really is where you decide to draw the line based on you as a consumer. And I guess everybody is an individual and we all have to weigh up our expectations to our own accord, right?
That's right. All we can do is do the research that we feel comfortable with. And look, like we said before, at least we know there is a refund policy in place most of the time. Yeah. So worst case scenario, you take it back and you cost yourself a trip back to the shop.
Well, that is our chat on managing expectations and how expectations can really affect a game and how you enjoy it after it releases.
Yeah.
Luke, thank you for joining us.
Playday's gone. It's all right.
Yeah. My name has been Elliot, and if you like this podcast, rate us. Help us out.
Yeah.
Like, subscribe. And,
subscribe on iTunes or on Spotify as well soon.
Absolutely.
Get around it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the juicy deets on that?
Oh, I know you love a juicy deet.
Hot scoop. So yes, stay tuned for that. We are moving to Spotify eventually. And thanks for joining us, because next week there will be more Intimate Goodness coming up.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.